News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Well, we were speaking earlier on to the Irish Farmers Association about the rising costs that we are likely to see in food prices thanks to the cost of fertilizer because of the impact on shipping through the Straits of Hormuz. That's the most recent cost increase, but the ones that we've been watching for the past while have been in petrol, in diesel, in home heating oil. And on those, Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's deputy leader and finance spokesperson, is calling for the government to take urgent action and is putting a motion before the Dáil next week demanding such action. Piers Doherty, what is it that you want the government to do?
I want them to get their act together, to get their head out of the sand and to recognise that these type of prices that people are paying for petrol, for diesel, for home heating oil are simply too much. And it comes on the back of obviously all of the other pressures we've seen in terms of electricity costs, food costs, rents and so on that are putting pressure on families. So the government can act, and that's what my emergency legislation that I'm introducing today actually does. It reduces the taxes on petrol, on diesel and home heating oil. It puts money back into people's pockets, and it makes sure that the government aren't actually profiting from what is, these sky high costs, because that's actually what is happening at the minute. The government is taking in more taxes than ever before on fuel, because as we know, up to 65% of what you pay to put fuel into your car goes into the coffers of the taxman, and that's not acceptable.
Well, on that front, Piers Doherty, it's obvious how the excise duty could have an impact in relation to petrol and diesel for cars. For home heating oil, is there the same headroom to allow for government intervention to make a significant difference to consumer cost?
Yes, there's actually more headroom in terms of home heating oil than there is in petrol and diesel, because under the European rules, we have to have a certain amount of excise tax on petrol and diesel. So we take it down to the maximum amount for diesel. So that would cut the cost of diesel by 25 cents. But actually, there is no minimum requirement in terms of home heating oil. So we remove the carbon tax entirely from home heating oil. So that would benefit Anton by about €200, just up to €200 saving to fill your tank. Now, remember, what the government plans to do in the next number of weeks, and they've already legislated for this, is to put more tax on home heating oil. And later on this year, they're planning to put more tax on diesel and petrol. And, I think it's just crazy that they still have decided that they're going ahead with these plans in spite of, hearing where people are at and the challenges that people are having to fill their tanks, to heat their homes, or to get to work in the morning.
And I assume the government response will be that you cannot set a precedent where when price fluctuates, the legislature immediately jumps in, because then every time there is a price fluctuation, the expectation will be that you'll do it again.
Look, we're well used to, fluctuation in prices in terms of petrol and diesel. That this isn't what we're seeing at the minute. Oil has gone up 45%. Home heating oil in some cases have gone up 70-80% costs. So, what we're seeing in terms of petrol and diesel here, has not been seen before outside of the war in Ukraine. And at the time when the invasion, when Russia invaded Ukraine and pushed up these prices, Sinn Féin forced the government into taking action. The government are talking about, look, we'll monitor this. We may come up with something at the end of the month. We're looking at these issues. It's not like the government has a crystal ball that can actually tell us when the conflict in the Middle East is going to be over. We all want it over. But what we do know is right this morning, people are queuing up at filling stations and they're being charged an arm and a leg to get to work. We know that people are sitting at home. I've met them who are telling me, particularly our elderly people, that they're afraid to turn on their heat because the cost of filling that tank has gone from what it would normally cost up to now €1,700, €600-700 more than what was before. And that's really, really unacceptable, particularly at a time when we are taking in more taxes as a result of it. And we had a surplus of €12.5 billion, not million, but billion euro last year. So we can well afford it. And it is a time of crisis. It is an emergency. And you have to support your citizens at this time. So standing by, spectating is not acceptable anymore. And that's why we're saying to government today that it is a decision time. You have to decide whether you're going to back the Irish people or whether you can continue to delay and dither, which we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
Meanwhile, while I have you, obviously a lot in your party will be focusing on the trial across the water of your former president in respect to the allegations that he was an IRA member. That is obviously going to be decided by the judge, and we'll hear the verdict in the coming weeks, if not months. But from your own perspective, you might be able to shed light on one thing that I've never understood, which is, in talking to Gerry Adams, as you will have over the years, have you ever been able to establish why, if we take him at face value, he didn't join the IRA.
It's not a conversation that I've had. And look, you know, Jerry is obviously back in court today, and he's, you know, robustly defending his own role in the peace process, his own role in relation to ending the conflict. And we heard some of that yesterday. And
but did it never strike you as odd?
There's many people who didn't join the IRA. There's many people who did join the IRA, and you know, at a time of conflict, you know, it's not a case of that everybody joined and everybody didn't, but there was tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, but Gerry Adams did say that there was no alternative but armed struggle. He said that if you didn't want to bend the knee or turn a blind eye to oppression, the only route was armed struggle. Yet he never took part.
And there's many, many people who, you know, in the North during the time of the conflict believed that the IRA were right in relation to what the armed action they took against the British government, but didn't join the IRA.
But he described that as bending the knee, as turning a blind eye to oppression.
Listen, these are conversations that you need to have with Gerry. You're asking me about things that, you know, and people's thoughts before I was even born in the early 1970s with respect, Anton. Like, you know, all I can say is that, you know, there are many people who didn't join the IRA. There are tens of thousands of people who did join the IRA, who believe that they were defending their communities and taking the war against the British army at the time, who were on the streets of the North. The one thing that I can say as a leader of Irish republicanism, as part of that collective leadership, is I'm delighted that I was able to play a part with Gerry to make sure that we have a peace process and that we have a situation where young people and older people don't feel it necessary to join the IRA, that there's a way to bring about Irish unity through peaceful democratic means, which was secured in the Good Friday Agreement. And I think we've been never closer to actually achieving them aims as a result of the leadership of people like Gerry in the past.
Pierce, thank you very much. That is Pierce Doherty, who is Sinn Féin Deputy Leader and Finance Spokesperson. That's pretty much for it this morning on News Talk Breakfast. We'll be back tomorrow at 7.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.